The gospel reading on this Sunday in Pentecost comes from Matthew, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 22nd verse, the word of God for the people of God. Scripture records that immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after Jesus had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray, and when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw Jesus walking on the lake, they were terrified. They cried out with fear, "It's a ghost." But Jesus immediately said to them, "Be of good courage. It is I. Fear not." Peter replied, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, truly, you are the Son of God." May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his word. John Cowan is a human resources consultant, and he is also an Episcopal priest and an author. And one of his books, Common Table, he tells the story of a fellow priest, a younger priest who had been given charge on a temporary basis. We Baptists would call that an interim pastorate. He was sent to an affluent congregation, one of the most affluent parishes in the state of Minnesota. And when he got there, Cowan says, his young friend felt like he had been thrown into the deep end because everyone in the church was wealthy and powerful. They were presidents of this and vice presidents of that. They owned this and they owned that. They were movers and shakers in every sense of the word. But this young priest, at first, he thought to himself, "There's an unsettledness in this congregation. I cannot put my finger on it, but there is something that's not quite right." So he asked an older retired priest who also was a part of the parish, tell me what's going on. Or is it just because I'm so young, wet behind the ears?" "No," the older priest said, "you're correct. And if you want to know the reason for the unsettledness in this place, try the word fear. Try the word fear." And the younger priest says that when he heard that, "These people are afraid." Suddenly it dawned on him, that is absolutely the source of all of this unsettledness. For even though in the eyes of the world this parish is filled with people who are important and powerful, at the same time they are so afraid. They are so afraid. Just one mistake. Just one shake-up in management, just one bad quarter in terms of earnings projections. Just one more recessionary cycle, and all of a sudden, the foundation upon which these people have worked so diligently to build their lives, it's all gone. And it could happen at any moment. And as a result of what they have placed their hopes in, the fact that at any second it could be taken away from them, they are, as the Bible puts it, sore afraid. Now, I don't know that you have to be in the top echelons of society. You don't have to have your name in the blue book. You don't need to be on the social register to tap into that feeling of fear that pervades our culture. We live at a time when the ethos of our society is, as it were, awash in fear. And the media don't help, do they? I mean, you look at the world scene. You probably have been riveted to the news and the accounts of what's happening on the Korean Peninsula and throughout the Pacific Rim, and you are thinking to yourself, oh my soul, what is about to happen? And you are afraid. Just this weekend, watching the accounts of what has happened in, of all places, Charlottesville, Virginia, the home of Thomas Jefferson, one of the most prestigious campuses in all of the country, the University of Virginia. How could this happen? What, pray tell, is going on? We're afraid. You go up the interstate a bit to Washington, D.C., and the government is at loggerheads, and they can't get their act together, no matter who we put into office, no matter who we put into power, doesn't seem to make any difference. The divide is so entrenched. Sometimes you even wonder, can I trust the person who is sitting right next to me? I'm just afraid that they won't have my best interest at heart. I fear that they won't be there for me when I need them to be. We live in a day when fear seems to hold sway everywhere and among everyone. If this morning you're in this place and you've gathered here and I've just sort of struck a chord in your soul, I've helped you name the source of an unsettled feeling that you haven't been exactly able to pinpoint, do I have good news for you? There is hope. There is hope in the midst of all fears that come upon us. There is help and there is hope, and they come to us in the person of Jesus, which is the point of the story that is before us this morning in Matthew's gospel, this story of Simon Peter walking on the water is really a story of hope and how we can rise above the circumstances and situations of life that cause us to become so afraid as long as we fix our focus upon Jesus. Because the tendency that we have when we look at this story is to focus a bit too much on Simon Peter. Have you ever noticed that? Because we see a lot of ourselves in Simon Peter, or let me rephrase that, we see in Simon Peter the kind of spirit that we would love to express, I mean, who can't fall in love with a man like Simon Peter? He's bold. He's courageous. He's unafraid to take risk. He's someone who seems always ready to pull the trigger. He doesn't hesitate at all, regardless of whatever dangers are around. And all of that is true. But when you look at this story, it really isn't a story about Simon Peter, apart from what Simon Peter is able to do in the power that Jesus makes possible. I mean, you look at this story. Jesus has left his disciples. He's gone to pray. They have headed out into the Sea of Galilee. The winds come up. The storms begin to rage. The waves provide an element of danger, suspense to the story. And the disciples are what? They are afraid. The boat is being buffeted as these experienced fishermen have never known. And suddenly, as the Bible says in the last watch of the night, between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m., they look out on the water, and at first, the scripture says they think that they see a ghost. Does that make them feel more secure? Absolutely not. It only heightens their fear, their sense of trepidation, their belief that nothing good can come out of this. They think it is a ghost until Jesus speaks. "It is I," which in the original language comes off more as "I am." The name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. "It is I am. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid." And this is where Simon Peter comes into the picture. He calls out to Jesus, "If it is really you," that doesn't seem to be the kind of ringing statement of faith that you would expect a disciple to make. "If that's conditional, if it is you, then bid me come to you." And Jesus says, "Come," which is exactly what Peter does. And he begins remarkably to walk upon the water in the midst of the raging storm with the wind beating against the boat. Simon Peter does just fine until you know the story. What does he do? He takes his eyes off Jesus and begins to focus on the threats and the dangers that are all around him. And then what happens? He sinks like a rock and he cries out to Jesus, "Lord, save me," which is exactly what Jesus does. He takes Peter and he lifts him from the waves and the water. And then he chides him, "Oh, ye of little faith." What's the message of the story for you and for me? It's a message that reminds us of how important it is always for us to keep our gaze upon Jesus, because the tendency that so many of us have in the course of this stormy existence that we call life, the tendency that every one of us has, is to look to Jesus when we find ourselves in a bind, when something happens that causes us grave threat. We look to Jesus and we pray for Jesus to deliver us, and Jesus does. And so much of the time, as soon as Jesus delivers us, what do? We say to ourselves, we are grateful for all that Jesus has done for us, but now we have it under control. We can manage this situation all by ourselves. And before we know it, we are back in the predicament that we knew before Jesus delivered us. See, we look at Simon Peter in this story, and yes, it is true, he jumped from the boat. He jumped out to Jesus. He did what none of the other disciples were willing to do. But if you look at Peter's frame of mind throughout the story, there is a not so subtle intention on Peter's part always to be in control. Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you. And when Jesus affirms that desire to come, and Peter leaps from the boat and begins to walk on the water, he's doing well until he takes his eyes off Jesus, leans upon his own power, and begins to sink. It may be this morning that you are in this place. And this is not a good time for you, this season of life. That unsettledness about which I spoke earlier, it really has marked your existence at this point in your life. And you say to yourself, I'm a person of faith. I've placed my trust in Jesus. But as we sang earlier in this hour of worship, the experience of placing faith in Jesus is something that we do day by day, moment by moment, every second of every day. We yield ourselves to the Lordship of Christ. We focus our efforts on serving Jesus. We fix our gaze on what His power and His power alone can do in our lives. And we forego any inclination to control any situation by ourselves. Instead, we give every moment to Jesus, trusting in Him to do in and through us that which only Jesus can do. This morning, as you look at this passage of Scripture, can you make the decision to give your life in a deeper way to the power of Jesus so that He might strengthen you, so that He might sustain you, so that He might lift you from whatever predicament you have found yourself in, so that He alone can be the source of your salvation? Will you focus not on the threats and the dangers that are around you, but instead would you attend to Jesus, fix your gaze upon Him, and trust Him for the deliverance that you need? The story is told of a young boy who was out in his backyard. He was playing, and his parents had hired a paint crew to do some work on the house, and you know how that works. They come with all of their scaffolding and all of their ladders, and sure enough, the paint crew had come and they had put up ladders all over the house. Well, you know how it goes with a little boy and a ladder. You know, it's just too great of a temptation not to climb the ladder. So the little boy starts making his way up the ladder, and the painter at the top of the ladder, you know, he hears rattling and he sort of feels what's going on, and he looks down and he sees this little kid climbing up the ladder, and the painter, of course, is way up the ladder, and he understands that the little boy has just put himself in a situation of grave danger. He knows that if the little boy ever pauses and looks down and sees how high off the ground he really is, that would not be good. That would not end well. So what does the painter do? He tells the little boy, just keep coming, keep coming. Keep your eyes on me. Just look at me. Just look at me and keep climbing. And the little boy heeds what the painter is telling him to do. And he continues to climb the ladder until he gets to where the painter is. And the painter is able then to take the little boy in his arms and walk down from the ladder to place the boy on steady ground. Today, it may be that you're in a place in life you never thought you'd be. Never, don't know how I got here. But you look around and you're scared to death. You've got two choices. You can focus on your fears. But if you focus on your fears, they'll distract you. And they'll threaten you, and it will not end well for you. You can focus on your fears, or you can focus instead on Jesus, who will strengthen you and sustain you, receive you, take you into his arms, and bring you to a place of rest. When the winds of life are against you, listen to the voice of Jesus and look nowhere else but to Him. For that, my brothers and sisters, is what the life of faith, big faith, is really all about.